If you have your Bibles, Matthew, the fifth chapter, verse 7 is what we're going to be looking at here today. We've been going through the Beatitudes. We've looked at poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, and then last time, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Now, I want us to look at two words here. It's in the first line, the merciful, but then the phrase, they shall obtain mercy. Now, the word here for merciful is eleman. Now, this is a word that's actually not used very often. We find different derivations of that word throughout the scriptures. But the word itself, eleman, we actually only find one other time in scriptures. It's in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. And then we actually find it in Homer's The Odyssey, in the Odyssey book number 5, around line 191. In that passage, Odysseus is actually on the island in captivity with Calypso, who is a nymph. And we'll actually make reference of that a little bit later. But in this passage of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, though, where it's used again in the scriptures, it says this, it says, "For this reason he had to be made like them." This is what the Hebrew writer here is speaking of Christ as he became human, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful eleman and faithful high priest in the service to God, that he might make known, or that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Now, the phrase, though, for to obtain or to be shown mercy is eleo. And that means to experience mercy. Whereas eleman is about showing mercy. In fact, it's an act of compassion that you would have. It's very similar to where we see Jesus looks, whether it's to various peoples, like the woman, and he was moved with compassion, or he looked to the crowd or before he fed the 5,000, those who were with him for quite some time. And he had an act of compassion, that eleman, eleo, means to experience mercy. Specifically, it's the idea of God granting favors to those most unworthily. Now, the interesting thing about this is it's in the aorist tense. Now, what that means is, in at least Greek grammar in the aorist, what this is an undefined whole. There's not necessarily a specific time, if you will. And it makes a lot of sense if you think about it. Throughout Scripture, we have seen time and time again where people have experienced God's mercy and God's grace. And it was not only at one point, but it was all throughout human history. We saw the mercy that God showed to Adam and Eve, even though they had sinned. We see the mercy that God showed to Israel time and time again, even though they rejected him. We see the mercy that God showed to Lot and his family, even though they dwelt in Sodom. But even people that weren't God's, we see how God showed mercy to Rahab. We see how God showed mercy to Naaman. See, throughout the Bible and throughout human history, God's mercy is in many ways undefined when it comes to time, because his mercy is everlasting and it continues on and on. In fact, Paul had to explain that to those in his letter to the Romans in chapter 9, verses 15 through 18. He says this, he says, "What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, 'I will have mercy on those whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion.' It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy." Part of the problem with the Roman people is they didn't understand how God would show them mercy, even though they were Gentiles. And especially for the Jews, they couldn't understand why God would show them mercy when they weren't his people. At least that's what they thought. It continues, "For Scripture says to Pharaoh, 'I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth.' Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. See, the Gentiles were given a chance because God has mercy. And it's, in many ways, undefinable. So what's the connection here, though? What do we see when we look at the mercy that we are to show, an act of compassion, and therefore we will experience mercy? Well, I made mention of earlier from Homer's The Odyssey about Odysseus. And the Odyssey follows Odysseus as he's leaving the Trojan War and trying to make his way back to Penelope, his wife, and his family. When he's on the island there for 7 years in captivity to Calypso, one of the things she mentions to him is that she wants to have Iliamen. She wants to have an act of compassion towards him. But see, what we see is as we read through that story, that's not the case. Unfortunately, when it comes to Greek gods, their selfishness, their ego, their pride, their vanity, their slothfulness, well, downright their debauchery is really what takes over. We see that Calypso uses her words to try to sway Odysseus. But yet when we consider our God, the true God, we see that he does have mercy. We see that it is not just an act that's put on. Isaiah proclaims in chapter 40, verse 11, he says, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs, and he will carry them in his bosom, and he will gently lead the nursing ewes. See, for the Greek people and Greek culture, they weren't surprised when their gods would lie to them or act very human. But we're very blessed and fortunate that when we read a passage like Matthew 5, 7, that God is not slack in his promise. That when God reveals to us that if we show mercy, we will experience mercy. Because, like a shepherd, he tends his flocks. In his arms, he gathers the lambs. He carries them in his bosom, and he gently leads the nursing ewes. And isn't that why we're here? We're here at this time to remember the mercy that was shown to us. Romans makes it clear that the penalty for sin is death. But yet, as Peter proclaims in his epistle, that sin was taken on by Christ as he was nailed to that tree, to the cross. See, we were able to experience mercy, and we experience it every day. So as we consider the mercy that we get to experience by partaking of the bread and of the cup, let's not, though, forget the first part, to show mercy ourselves and therefore to be happy. Let's pray. Almighty Father, God in heaven, we're truly grateful and thankful for this day. That, Lord God, as we consider the mercy that was shown to us and that we get to experience the culmination of it right now in this time of communion, to reflect on the fact that your Son took upon our sin, took upon death, that, Lord God, we can have everlasting life. I cannot think of a greater example of mercy shown to us. So I pray, Father God, that we, as we remember that, we take it upon ourselves to realize that we are to show mercy, to have an act of compassion, to be like the shepherd, to follow his example, to support each other, and to support those around us. Father God, I pray we do not grow weary in doing good, but continue to do it. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity. And it's through Christ's name we pray. Amen.